At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, Professor Nicholas Thomas, Professor of Historical Anthropology at Cambridge University, also the Director of Archaeology and Anthropology Museum at Cambridge. His new book is Voyagers. And we plunge into the 19th century and are amazed that a chieftain, significant that he's a leadership position in the Cook Islands, this is Polynesia, is able to direct a European sailing master without use of European tools. Now we go back to the beginning, at least until the retreat of the last ice. This is about 11,000 years ago, and we're not in Polynesia. That's well to the east. We're not in Melanesia. We're in Formosa, Taiwan now, and the line, the north-south line called Wallacea, forgive my pronunciation, Professor. What is it that we understand about the voyagers from the mainland into and crossing Wallacea into Melanesia?
There are two stages to this incredible chapter in human history, and it is worth underscoring just how incredible this story is, because otherwise, since the beginnings of human history, since the beginnings of our species, people have been continent-based. So they, of course, anatomically modern humans evolve in Africa. They settle Europe, Asia, and the Americas via a land bridge. So people get around almost everywhere in the world on foot through gradual migrations. But towards the end of the Pleistocene, towards the end of the last great ice age, people in Southeast Asia start to move beyond land, initially through short distance crossings. Wallacea is a set of islands, broadly speaking, between New Guinea and islands Southeast Asia, Java, Borneo. Much of that land was the land was far more extensive during the Ice Age because the sea levels were lower, but there were always deep straits that separated what we call Sunda, that greater Southeast Asian landmass, and islands such as New Guinea. But early on, 50 to 60,000 years ago, people began to cross that channel. We don't really know how or why, but very likely on rafts made of bamboos, they went on to settle New Guinea, huge landmass, extraordinary diverse ecology, and also Australia. And from New Guinea, they began to settle the Solomon Islands and the islands to the north and immediate east of New Guinea. And those passages are extraordinary and unprecedented in human history because it is the first time that people seek to reach new lands, not by making short water crossings, but by going further, by venturing out into the sea. So they're leaving land behind them. Land is out of sight, and they still don't see land ahead. But they travel, and they eventually find new spaces. And those early migrations are very early. They're about 30,000 years ago. And so we are aware that speakers of what are now called Papuan languages, languages spoken across New Guinea, settled islands in the Solomon's Archipelago by that time. but they don't go further. Whereas later on, about 5 to 6,000 years ago, people who are agriculturalists, people who have clearly a developed culture of travel across water, people who have a maritime orientation, leave Formosa, leave the island, now the nation of Taiwan, travel down again into the island of New Guinea area. And that is where this extraordinary culture, Lapita, known for a distinctive pottery style. People speak what we call Austronesian languages, Malayo-Polynesian languages. They constitute a new kind of voyaging culture and move very swiftly from there through the Solomon Islands into Vanuatu, into New Caledonia, and that part of island Melanesia. And they seem for that period to constitute an intensive culture. They built substantial settlements. Linguistic evidence suggests they have socially complex societies. They have chiefs, they have priests, they have specialized roles. They engage in trade. But what is extraordinary is that this is a very rapid set of migrations. Over really just hundreds of years, they leave islands to the north and east of New Guinea and move very swiftly through a range of archipelagos into Vanuatu, New Caledonia, and they venture beyond.
Yes, if I get my dates right, I'm making notes, Professor, forgive me. 43,900 years ago, we have cave art in the Siloese. 32,000 years ago, New Ireland to Buka, we have reason to believe that they crossed, made that passage 109 miles across, 87 to 109 miles across. 9,000 BCE, about 11,000 years ago, they're in the New Guinea highlands. And then we pick up the oceanic culture that we call Lapita from the pottery. And my note says about 2,500 years ago, in other words, 500 BCE. So at that point, that's when we begin to look at the traveling in from New Guinea or that region of New Ireland, New Britain, into the Melanesians and then into Micronesians. So we're looking at about 2,500 years of time in which the investigation is, how did they do it? Why did they do it? Is all that correct, Professor?
Yes, broadly. The chronology is still uncertain. New dates are kind of emerging all the time, but that is broadly correct. And these people reach Eastern Melanesia, Western Polynesia, that is the Fiji, Tonga, Samoa area, and there they settle for a period. So there's this period of rapid migration, the colonization of many islands over a comparatively short period, and then there's a sort of pause where society develops in that Western Polynesia region, and that in a sense is where Polynesian identity specifically emerges.
Yes, the different identities are important here, because when we come back, we're going to go to the 18th century, our forebears here in America and Australia and the rest of the British Empire, because they were voyaging for practical reasons, for investigation. Cook's three voyages had different missions, but we have the notes from Cook's vision of missions, especially one particular. It's not quite a map. I'm learned to calling it an archive. And that begins to introduce new mysteries about this vast landscape. This is called Oceania, stretching from the first island chain, which would be Taiwan, the Philippines, down to Australia. Oceania stretches all the way across to an island called Rapa Nui, who I now know is Easter Island. That's well to the east of all this. So we're looking at a transformation of all of these islands to cultures and language groups and sophistication at sea that is still under investigation from Professor Nicholas Thomas and his colleagues, Professor of Historical Anthropology at the University of Cambridge. The book is Voyagers, The Settlement of the Pacific. And when we come back, Captain Cook. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9-3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.